KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. The Detweiler fire has created 99 problems for property owners east of Merced. Just under 100 structures have burned to the ground. Another 1,500 are threatened. Many of them are in areas surrounding the town of Mariposa. KQED's Central Valley reporter Vanessa Roncagno reports from the scene.
The hills around Mariposa are streaked with pink, fire retardant dropped by the planes. In some places, the landscape is black and bare, except for a little stubble. Along Highway 140, the ground is still hot and smoking in places. The burned-out husks of homes sit in piles of ash. Where one house used to stand, there's only a foundation now, and the metal skeletons of a trampoline, a washing machine, a boat, and a truck. Suddenly, Jason and April Hawley walk out of the brush.
I just drove through the bushes from my property to here to see this. This is like, I've known this guy for 25 years.
The Hawleys grew up in Mariposa. They went to high school with the people who used to live in this house, and the families are still close.
Oh, this is so sad. This is everything. Literally all of his work, stuff, all his home. This is everything he had.
It fell to the Hawleys to let their friends know everything was gone. They'd barely saved their own house just up the road. The Hawleys refused to evacuate. Instead, they used their 3,000-gallon water tank to wet their house and a tractor to cut a line around it.
And we literally saved it by inches.
Almost 4,000 firefighters have been deployed to fight the fire. But for the Hawleys, that's not much comfort.
I had fire crews, tons of fire crews show up today. This is like a long time ago, 48 hours ago, that this burned through.
Officials say in this area, the fire has settled down a bit. But no one knows what the coming days will bring. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Roncagno in Mariposa.
Meanwhile, the smoke from the 70,000-acre fire is filling the nearby Yosemite Valley. But as Valley Public Radio's Jeffrey Hess reports, the smoke is not deterring people from visiting the park.
On a normal day, the view from the tunnel overlook into Yosemite Valley is stunning and clear. It's still stunning, but smoke from the Detweiler fire is pouring into the valley, casting a thin haze over the familiar view. But tourists from all over the world are still flocking to the site and saying they won't let a little smoke get them down. Anne Erdahl traveled from Norway to see El Capitan and Half Dome and is just happy the fire didn't shut the park down.
It's kind of just a blue mist, and it's kind of cool because it just put layer into the view of the mountain, so I don't really mind at all.
The level of smoke in the valley varies depending on the time of day and the direction of the wind. Park officials say attendance numbers have not dipped, and they're still expecting a busy weekend. The park is fully equipped with backup generators, so even if power lines to the park are damaged, it can remain in operation. For the California Report, I'm Jeffrey Hess in Yosemite National Park.
We go now to Los Angeles, where the California Geological Survey has released new fault lines. And those fault lines could make it tougher to build on the Santa Monica Fault, home to some of the Southland's priciest real estate. The California Report's Stephen Cuevas has details.
We'll first start with a different Southern California fault line, one that erupted nearly 50 years ago.
In a suburb called Sylmar, the shocks magnified enormously here. Gas mains are exploding, broken sewer lines bubbling in the streets.
64 people were killed in the 1971 Sylmar earthquake, and soon after that, California passed a law that requires updated mapping of major earthquake fault zones. But due to a lack of funding, the effort ground to a halt not long after it began and only recently got back on track. The newly released mapping of the Santa Monica Fault could prohibit new construction on top of active sections of the fault in several communities and require extensive geological review for proposed development within 500 feet.
The Santa Monica Fault and the Hollywood Fault historically have been fairly quiet since the area has been settled, as far as we know.
California Geological Survey senior engineer Timothy Dawson.
The major concern is that these faults traverse some of the most densely populated areas in the LA Basin.
The Santa Monica Fault has helped shape a roughly 30-mile stretch from Pasadena to the Pacific. That's why properties here, along sections of Santa Monica Boulevard, sit up a little higher than those on the other side of the street. The maps also confirm what officials in the city of Santa Monica have known and have been preparing for some time. Earlier this year, the city approved what's widely seen as the most sweeping seismic retrofit program in California. The new state mapping could give even more muscle to the effort.
What this mapping is intended to highlight is areas of potential surface
rupture.
Jing Yeo is a planning manager for the city of Santa Monica.
That is a different consideration, you know, than the seismic retrofit program that the city is in the process of implementing.
What impact the new California Geological Survey fault hazard mapping could have on the city's seismic retrofit program is still uncertain. The maps and the law behind them can only do so much. Ultimately, it depends on local leaders to decide how strictly they'll enforce new building standards. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Santa Monica.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com, Block Construction. Together, building greatness. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected, on the web at theschmidt.org. And Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com.
Been a lot of innovations in marijuana extracts in the past few years, especially as West Coast states, now including California, have approved recreational cannabis use. One of those innovations is not butane honey oil. It's the name for a THC oil, and to extract it from marijuana, you have to use butane. As you can imagine, when people are high and using butane, things explode.
And next thing you know, you're impaled with hundreds of pieces of glass and you're on fire.
And I saw that my shirt was like ashy, and I was just like, I'm okay, just, you know, dust it off. But he got to the point where he was dusting it off, and he didn't want to do it anymore because my skin was coming off with the clothing.
That's from a video released this week from the Riverside DA office. You can see their warning about butane honey oil by finding me on Twitter. I'm at JohnLGC. This has been the California Report for Friday, July 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great weekend.